My greetings to everyone. The topic of today is human resource policies. What are policies? Policies are the broad guidelines as to how the objectives of a business are to be achieved. Objective provides ends which a manager should try to achieve. Policies provide guidelines which he or she should keep in mind and view while achieving the ends. It is designed to guide the organizational members to deal with a particular situation in a particular manner. Actually, the policies, they delimit the area within which the decision is to be made and assures that the decision will be consistent with and contributive to the business objectives. So in a way, we can say that policies are the boundaries within which the managers and other people who are actually have the responsibilities of making the policies should remain into. They are actually a predetermined and accepted course of thought and action to serve as a guide towards certain accepted objectives. So the policies are related to the organizational overall purpose and its objective in the various areas within its operations, and human resource policies, they lay down the decision-making criteria in line with the overall purpose of the organization in the area of human resource management. There are few fine examples of policies like employees will not accept any outside assignment. Employees cannot proceed on a leave which is more than 1 week. So these are the actual boundaries within which the people have to remain who are responsible for making the policies. So policies tend to pre-decide the issues, avoid any repetitive analysis, give a unified structure to the other type of plans. So it is an expression of intentions of the top management, we can say. It is stated in broad terms. The purpose of the policy statement is to serve as a guide to practice now and in future. So it should be stated in the broadest possible term. Policy is actually long-lasting. A policy is enduring in nature and is formulated after taking into account the long-range plans and the needs of the organization. Policy is developed with the active participation of all the executives. Policy formulation calls for the serious thinking and participation of all executives. Policies live longer than people who frame them. Basic organizational policies are framed in a manner that apply to all members of the organization, alike from top to bottom. The policies should also get approval to the highest authority in the organization once they are framed. Policies are in writing. Basically, when you talk about the policies, policies take concrete shape when they are put into writing. So this will ensure uniformity in the application. In case of a disagreement at the lower levels, the written policy serves as the final reference point, and the written policies ensure the continuity and the greater conformity. Actually, the policies are linked with the objectives. Like a policy is derived from a specific objective and it facilitates their achievement. There is definitely, when you talk about the overall functioning of the management, we actually need the policies because they are the ready reckoners, they are the reference points. So there is a need and importance of the HR policies, which we should always keep in mind, because policies help the managers at all levels to act with confidence without the need of consulting the superiors every time. So the policies actually help in achieving many objectives of the organization at a broader level and some micro level objectives also. Like policies help in decision making at various levels because it permeates at all levels. It gives the alternatives to choose also. It brings promptness in the action, because when a situation arises that calls for decisions, the policies will ensure a prompt action within the overall framework of the objectives of the organization. And if you follow the policies, it brings the consistency in the action also, because every time the same decision has to be taken because you're referring to the same policy. So policies provide the base for the management by principle as contrasted with the management by expediency. Then continuity and stability. Written policies are a means of transmitting the company's heritage from one generation of executives to the other. There would be stability in decision making in the organization, even if some executives retire or leave the organization. So, it helps in smooth functioning of the organization, facilitates decision making, brings promptness of the action, brings consistency of the action, and helps in continuity and stability in the organization. Not only this, the policies provides a rational and a continuous system of achieving the results, which facilitates the better control. It eliminates the personal hunch and the biases, because clearly laid down policy liberates the decision maker from his personal bias and self-interest. It also helps in the welfare of the people. By removing the momentary and the hasty decisions, policy ensures long-term welfare of the people involved in the organizational activities. Then is the confidence in employees. The policy makes the employees aware of where they stand in relation to the organization. So, this will create a confidence in them. Now, there are certain limitations of HR policies. HR policies may suffer from some limitations, like they are the repeated used plans. They bring about rigidity in the system and they leave no room for initiation by any subordinate. So, we have to work in a very bounded structure, in a bounded aspects and parameters. Little flexibility is required, but owing to these policies, there is no flexibility. We have to be very rigid in, you know, conforming to the policies which are framed in this regard. And policies may not cover all the problems, and sometimes unforeseen situations arise which are not covered by the existing policies. Policies are no substitute for the human judgment. So policies only delimit the area within which the decisions are to be made. Policies may not be everlasting also, as they lose their utility with the changes in the internal and the external environment of the business. We observe that the dynamic environment is there. So if we make a policy, it becomes redundant in the coming months. Sometimes it is not even months. Why? Because we live in a very uncertain environment, which is ever changing. So you never know when the government policy is going to change, when the economic, social, political environment is going to change. So the policies which we have framed, they lose their meaning. And this is a problem. So that is why, you know, it comes under the limitations of the HR policies, that they cannot be everlasting, because if the circumstances, if the environmental changes take place, so they lose their meaning and their implementation part. Definitely, then that policy has to be revisited, revised, reframed. Now, of course, when you talk about the formulation of the HR policies, what are the parameters which have to be kept in mind? What are the specific areas which we have to keep in mind? So when we are formulating the personnel policies, the first step is to specify clearly the areas needing policies. The policies are needed in various areas of the human resource management, such as recruitment, employment, training, placement, transfer and promotion, compensation, personnel, appraisal, etc. Also, it relates to welfare activities. So, there are some basic steps which are involved in the framing of the policies. The first is a preliminary investigation. That is, investigation is done, the fact-finding is done in relation to the current labor legislations, in relation to what are the social values and customs, in relation to what are the employee aspirations, etc. So, keeping these aspects in one frame, the committee will frame the preliminary aspects of making the policy framework. So, this particular first step, that is the preliminary investigation, is very important, as the committee should be aware of such factors before framing any policy. They are the foundations on the basis of which we will frame the policies. The second step, as far as the formulation of the HR policies are concerned, is the scanning of the environment. Now, environment consists of internal as well as external parameters. So, the policy committee should actually carefully analyze the information available with it. The whole information may be divided into internal environment and external environment. Internal environment basically comprises of your resources, your people, your structure, the employee management relationship, organizational values, beliefs, etc. Anything within the organization forms the internal environment, and definitely that needs to be studied by the policymakers. On the other side, external environment also exerts a good pressure on the organization, so that also needs to be scanned, because it comes with opportunities, it comes with threats. So, you know, the overall environment relates to social, political, economic, technological, and various other parameters, which are countless, and the list is not exhaustive. So, monitoring and predicting both the internal environment as well as external environment is very important for the policymakers, because if they are not taking these aspects into considerations, the policies which they are going to make will have no meaning and will not be rational. So, a good importance has to be given to both internal as well as the external environment. Then you have to identify that for what areas you have to frame the policies. That is the identification of the policy areas. In formulating the policies, it is very essential to, you know, specify the particular areas for which you need the policies. You need the policies for broad areas, for, you know, particular small areas, etc. Then, of course, we can classify the policies into two broad groups. The first group deals with the policy formulation in the various managerial function, like what are the policies for the planning, organizing, staffing, directing, and controlling. The second group involves the policy making in the functional areas like production, marketing, finance, HR, etc. Whatever be the area for which you are making the policy, the process relating to it, the underlying process relating to the identification of the policy area and formulation of the policy remains the same. The benefit of specifying the area needing the policy is that it will help in collecting the right type of information. The information may be collected from the company's manuals and other vital, important publications, key areas, key executive publications of the government, trade policies, certain acts, trade union aspects, and other resources. So, basically, whosoever is making the policy have to keep into consideration the entire segment of knowledge, be it a government publication, be it your own, be it trade union, all the basic developments which are taking place, particular acts which are affecting your organizations, and other resources. And of course, the media also plays a vital role, the information of which has to be augmented into the identification of the policy areas. Then the fourth step is the analysis of the alternative policies. Now we have done as of now the preliminary investigation, which was all about the labor legislation, the social value system, that is, what are the accepted codes of behavior of any particular community, which a policy should take into consideration, the employee aspirations, that is, the intentions should aim at satisfying the hope and aspirations of the people at work. And second step was environmental scanning, followed by you have to identify the particular areas of policies for which you need the policy. And of course, here the sources from which you're going to augment the sources which are used for the identification of the policy area should be broad, which also includes the trade associations, the trade union, the publications of the government, some key executive policy areas. So all the sources have to be combined to identify the policy areas. And of course, now is the time to analyze the alternative policies. Now, as far as the alternative policy analysis is concerned, this stage is a policy formulating deal with examination of the alternative policies in light of their contribution to the organizational goals. That policy alternative should be selected, which is likely to yield the best possible results for the organization. The policy must be tested before it is given a final shape. The comments and suggestions should be received from the personnel at the lower level. That means when we are analyzing the alternative policy, it should be circulated in a draft form to all the levels of the management. Comments, suggestions, recommendations should be taken from all levels, that is the upper level, lower level, and the middle level, which we call it as a participatory approach. So once we take the comments, recommendation, etc., that should be also a part of the final selection of the policies. Then of course we have to move in for the other aspects of the policy making, that is the participation of the lower levels. Now this is an ultimate step. The ultimate choice of policy should be made with the active participation of those who use and live with the result it gives. So actually, the participation at a lower level is very, very meaningful. Hence, we can say that the analysis of the alternative policy is very, very important, as this stage in the policy formulation deals with the examination of the alternative policies in light of their contribution to the organizational goals. The policy alternative should be selected, which is likely to yield the best possible results for the organization. The policy must be tested and taken at all levels before it is given a final shape. Because there are some people who are going to give the comments, or they are not probably liking some of the provisions of the policies. So it is very important that all the people involved and are affected by the policies should be consulted, and their recommendations, their suggestions should be duly incorporated into the analysis part of the alternative policies to make the policy framework a big success. Now comes point number 5, that is the participation of the lower levels. Now it is of utmost importance that the people at the lower levels should be a part of the policy formulation, and this is going to give them an opportunity to increase their thinking levels, to gorge into or dwell into the policy framework of the overall management. The management can reasonably expect that those who have not testified against the proposed policy will abide by it. So if a group of employees is not convinced, the management should examine their views in detail. We can also move in for a written participation from them, and what do they feel about the policy framework. So we can say that there are two major benefits of participation of the people at the lower level in the policy formulation. One, it will ensure that the policies are realistic because they possess the first-hand information of the organization culture and climate. Secondly, The policies are to be used by the people at the lower level, so their participation in terms of policy formulation is very important, as this is going to give them lot of courage and is going to motivate them and actually make them ready for accepting such policies, because they will have this feeling that yes, when the policies were formulated, we were a part of it. So this kind of a process of participation of the lower level is actually a star feature for any organization. Otherwise, it is going to give a lot of dissatisfaction to the people who are working at a lower level, that they were never consulted, their recommendations were not taken, their consultation was not taken. So just to counter these circumstances and to overcome the future challenges, if any, in relation to the policies, can be actually countered at the same point if they are included as a participatory function of the lower level, to be included in the decision making of the policies to be framed by the top level management. So this is the biggest solution for your future problems. So we have discussed as of now what are the steps involved in the formulation of the policies, that is the preliminary investigation of your labor legislations, the social values, the employee aspirations. The second was environmental scanning, internal as well as external, that is the political, economic, technological, socio, infrastructural, management relationship, organizational values, beliefs, etc. It's a combination of both internal, external, micro and macro. So we have to scan the environment at all levels. Then comes that you have to specifically identify the areas for which the policies are needed. Now, this particular point states that every organization is different and the focus points will also be different. So for all type of organizations, we cannot have the same policies and the focus areas. So focus areas for manufacturing sector is different, for trading sector is different, for service industry, the particular policies which we need will be, the focal areas will be different. So we have to identify the basic identification of the policy areas. Then comes that the stage in the policy formulation deals with the examination of the alternative policies in the light of their contribution to the organizational goals. That is, the policy alternatives should be selected, which is likely to yield the best possible results for the organization. The policy must be tested before it is given a final shape, and the comments and the suggestions to be received from the personnel at a lower level. And then comes the participation of the lower level. So this is very, very important, which is the fifth step of the policy formulation. Why the lower level participation is important? Because they have to be abide by it, and we have to actually, put that policy functional, and they will be affected by it. So it is better that at the formation stage only, we are going to invite them at all levels of the making of the policy, and once they are in the making of the policies, they are not going to create any kind of a ruckus for the proposed policy, because they are a part of the forming stage only, and this is a win-win situation. And basically, if you talk about the potential benefits and the enduring benefits of the participation of the people at the lower level in the policy formulation, is that the first is, it is going to ensure that the policies are realistic, because if they have any issues or concerns, they are going to address it, and they possess the first-hand information of the organization, culture and climate. So the second potential benefit which we can see is that the policies are to be used by the people at the lower level, so their participation in the formulation process would encourage the ready acceptance by them, and there will be no resistance to accept the policy or any kind of change, because if it's a change policy, then of course it will be very easy to implement the policies. So if we invite the people at the lower level and make them a part of the policy formulation, it is going to make the overall picture very clear. All the clouds will be cleared. There will be a ready acceptance of any kind of changes which the organization wants to put. Then comes the approval of the top management, which is the sixth step in the policy formulation. Policy formulation committee should report to the top management its considered opinion, integrating the members' judgment and findings. The human resource manager has a key role to play in this matter. He may be a principal spokesman to the committee. He should take the adequate precaution to ensure the correct timings and the presentation of the report so that the top management finds it acceptable. So, the last step is your implementation of the policy. Now, this is a very important step as far as the formulation of the policy framework is concerned. The authority required to adapt and launch a policy definitely rests with the top level management. Top management alone decide whether the policy adequately represents the organizational objectives or not. Many management hesitate to release the policy except by them for fear of making commitments. Release of policy is essential unless the management does not mean what it pretends to mean. The failure to release a policy statement should create not only confusion but also a lack of confidence in the management pronounced commitments. And the next point is your policy appraisal. Now, this is the most vital and the final step in the policy framework after we have discussed the preliminary investigation, environmental scanning, identification of policy areas, analysis of alternative policies, participation of lower levels, approval of the top management, implementation of the policy, and the policy appraisal. What does appraisal mean? The representative of the management who are guided by the organization policy and other employees affected by a given policy can develop the experience needed to appraise its appropriateness and usefulness. Any serious difficulty with new or revised policy should be reported to the top management along with the constructive suggestions. The upward communication will take place if employees have learned that they can receive attention and get action from the top management by participating in this particular ways. So these were the steps which were involved in the policy framework. So the first step was preliminary investigation followed by environmental scanning, identification of the policy areas, analysis of alternative policies, participation of the lower levels, approval of the top management, implementation of policies, and the policy appraisal. These were the vital steps. In fact, the policy framework steps. Now, the policies which the management is making should be very, very clear, consistent with the public policy, and should be uniformly applied throughout the organization. And it is very important that it should be accepted at all levels. If it is not accepted, then of course it is going to be problematic for the organization. Now, of course, it has to have a strong base, appropriate theoretical base, frequently revised and evaluated. So these are some of the important points for a sound policy framework. So, of course, it has to be, clearly defined, consistent with the public policy, uniformly implemented, having a high degree of acceptance at all levels of management, frequently revised and evaluated. So, if we are going to give the positive answers to these issues, the policy is going to be incredible, very good, meaningful, rational, easily accepted at all levels of management. Designed to guide the organization. Now, let us talk about the policies in various HR areas. The personnel policies almost cover all human resource management. Usually, the policies are framed which are regarding all functions of the human resource management. To begin with, when the people have to be hired, in the organization, we have the acquisition policies, like what is the hiring qualification, training and experience, what is the preferred source of recruitment, internal, external, newspapers, employment exchange, etc. What are the policies in relation to reservation for the different groups, which are like SC, ST, OBC, weaker section, etc. Do we have a particular quota for them, persons with disabilities, etc. That needs to be framed. What can be the policies in relation to employment of relations of the existing personnels? Then of course, the placement of the new employees, the how we are going to move in for the orientation of the new employees, etc. And whether the person is selected, what kind of test and references have to be kept in mind. So the reliance on the various selection devices like test, reference checks, interviews, which is the most preferred way of selecting and recruiting the people. So this is the first area under which the HR policies are required, and in totality we can say this is the acquisition policies, which relates to the qualifications, to the sources of recruitment, to the reservation of the people who are going to be a part of the workforce, probably what are the employment existing relations, and what are the particular preferred methods of selecting the people, tests, reference checks, etc. The placement of the new employees, the orientation of the new employees, how we are going to take them, how we are going to orient them. So this comes under the first section, and we call it as the acquisition policies. Then we have the policies in relation to transfer and promotion policies. That is, in case the personnel has to be transferred from one department to the other, what is the rationale behind it? What is the periodicity of the transfer? Because it is going to affect the productivity and the efficiency of the organization if we transfer the people frequently. So there has to be a barrier of, say, or a block period of, say, a few months before the person is transferred from one department to another department. Then how the promotions of the people are going to take place? What parameters have to be kept in mind before the promotion takes place? Then what is the number of the period required to be working at the same level before the promotion, like 9 years, 8 years, 6 years, 7 years, etc.? Then what are the particular skills which are required, and specifically for the people who are upskilled or have the merits or the required amount of qualifications which are set by the formulation department? So all these aspects of the transfer and the promotion, what is the weightage to be given to the seniority, etc. Then the second set of policies after the acquisition policies which we talk about is the transfer and promotion policies. In the acquisition policies we talked about their qualification, training, selection, how we are going to move with the placement and orientation of the people. Then in the transfer we talked about the rationality of the transfer, periodicity of the transfer, promotion of the existing staff, what is the length of the service required for the promotion, what are the particular skill areas if the employee has gained over a period of time, so how he is going to be promoted, so on and so forth. So what is the specific importance given to the seniority level as well? So after we have discussed these two type of the various HR areas, the next type of the HR area which is for which the policy framework is mandatorily required is about the training and development. Because we have to hire the people and sometimes we are unable to have the required amount of skills. So then we have to give them the proper training and development programs to make them ready for the organization. So what is the basis of training? Whether we have to give them the on-the-job training or off-the-job training or a combination of the two, or probably some lectures will do, some classroom exercises will do, some hands-on experiential training will do, etc. So how we are going to optimize as far as their skilling part is concerned, how we are going to upskill them, keeping into consideration their aspirations as far as the career advancement is concerned. So these parameters have to be kept in mind. Then comes the policies of the compensation, like what is the minimum wages and the salaries we are going to give them, you know, what is the particular method which will be in function to pay them. So that is the methods of the wage payment, whether it has to be time wage or piece wage or a combination or the incentive based, whatever. Then we have to have some individual incentive plans also in place. Why? Because this is going to motivate the individual that yes, I'm contributing little more for the organization, so I should be paid more. So what are the individual incentive plans in the organization? What are the group incentive plans? Because we have to motivate, the leader has to motivate the teams also. So some kind of group incentive plans have also to be in place. Then followed by the employee stock option plans, some kind of a profit sharing if they are going to actually contribute to the organization. So there are some fine examples of the people who joined as, you know, even the lower participatory management level, and they went up to the MD level. So the employee stock option plan and the profit sharing, etc., all are these kind of steps in this regard. Then we have some non-monetary rewards also, which should be as a part of the policy framework in place, and needs a special policy for this. Then the next HR area, which is important as far as the policies in the various HR areas are concerned, is about the maintenance and the welfare policies, like kind and standard of working conditions, the number and duration of rest intervals, overtime, type of leaves, safety program, types of welfare services, financing of employee services, etc. So, you know, these kind of probable areas have to be there in place, and, you know, very frequently the management has to refer to such policies which are relation to the maintenance and the welfare, because, you know, this is going to be really cumbersome if the clear-cut policies in the maintenance and the welfare programs are not in place, because how the overtime is to be calculated, you know, what are the different types of leaves which are available for them. So what are the, you know, kind of safety programs to be in place, etc. So this is going to make the whole process and the functioning of the HR very simple and accessible, acceptable to all. Next, a particular HR head for which the policy is required is about the integration and human relation policies, like about the employee discipline, about how to handle the problems and the grievances of the workers or anybody who has in the functioning of the organization. Then how the recognition of the employees' union is going to take place, how the employee participation in management will be there, how the suggestions and the feedbacks have to be taken. So there are so many heads, almost like we have discussed six vital heads for which the policies are needed. Just to name them again, the acquisition policies, which are related to the hiring, that is selection, training, placement, orientation, etc., followed by the transfer and promotion policies like rationale of transfer, periodicity of transfer, promotion of existing staff, length of the service, qualification, weightage of seniority, etc. Then comes the training and development policies, like frequency of training, development, basis for training, types of training, programs of executive development, career development, etc. Then we have another area for which the policy is definitely required is about the compensation policies, like what will be the minimum wages and the salaries, the method of wage payment, individual incentive plan, group incentive plans, employee stock options, profit sharing, and non-monetary rewards. Then comes the maintenance and the welfare policies, like the kind and the standards of the working conditions, the number and duration of the rest intervals, overtime, types of leaves, safety program, types of welfare services, and financing of employee services. The last area, in fact, this list is not exhaustive, but these are the primarily the major areas for which all the organizations make policies. The sixth area which we talk about is the integration and the HR relations policies, like employee discipline, handling of grievances, recognition of employee unions, participation or in the management, suggestion schemes, etc. So there may be so many other policies in addition to the policy areas which we have discussed, And definitely, as and when the things will occur, the management can frame a contingent policies and put it functional just for a confident and a smooth sailing of the organizational functions, and to have a very good managerial relationship of the workers with the management. Now, basically, we have discussed about how the policies are going to be formed, what are the key areas, etc. So essentially, if you talk about what are the features of a sound HR policy, like it should be brief, limited to that situation, consistent, that is going to give the same results with good management philosophy behind it, and should watch the interest of all the stakeholders, should be very broad, general, and inbuilt flexibility should be there. It should always be in writing. And if it is not having a kind of a flexibility, it is going to create a lot of problem for the organization. The policy should be just, fair, equitable, and should be reasonable, and should be capable of being executed. And the participation in the policy framework leads to a sound policy. So it helps in communication and ensures its acceptance by the members. So participatory is one of the prime magical tool which is going to help the organization. So if the people at the lower level are at the, you know, part of the forming stage of the policy, the acceptance of which will be there 100%. So it is necessary to review the policy because of the environmental changes. So it should be subject to review. The environment around us is dynamic, ever changing. So we have to be reviewing the policies time and again to make it more meaningful and more rational. Thank you so much.